Good morning, everyone. We continue with our series in the book of Jonah. And today we are in chapter 3. And I've entitled this sermon, God Awakening a City to Its Spiritual Reality. And this is in chapter 3, the whole of chapter 3, from verse 1 to 10. So let's read it together. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published it through Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. When God saw what they did, he turned from his, and that they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. Shall we pray together? Father, we thank you for your word this morning, and we pray that you minister to our hearts. You change us. You speak to us that we will be a people that you have called for us to work with you and do the work you've called us to do, even in this city of Pietermaritzburg and beyond. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, in terms of outline, I will look at an introduction, and I have 3 points for the group of people that are in the city. Number one, I will deal with Jonah himself. So I call the first point the city's preacher awakening to a second chance. And then the second one will focus on the ordinary people of the city, or the people of the city, and I'm calling it the ordinary people of the city awakening to abundance of grace. And the third point, and my last point, will be to the authorities, and I've called it the king and his nobles awakening to their moral and spiritual responsibility. And then I will conclude. And as we look into this passage today, as way of introduction, I just want to look at what Michael Eaton calls the greatest spiritual awakening in the history of the Church of God. And he tries to move away from what happened in the city, calling it revival. He differentiates between what happened in the city as a spiritual awakening, because it was for a pagan community who didn't know the Lord. But for Jonah himself, because he was a child of God and a prophet of God, he got revived. So revival is for the church when they awaken from their backsliding state or their fallen state. And so that is what is happening. And in this city, a city of 120,000 inhabitants, God comes and awakens them to be able to believe themselves and their livestock in the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and Jacob, that the Almighty God will be able to remove the sin that he had, the sins that they had committed against him. But I think what happened to Jonah needs to happen to us as a church. And so today, even as a church, we need a revival as well, so that we can go into our city for the city to be awakened, just like Jonah did. In fact, the people of Israel always called out to God for a revival. When you look at Psalm 85 verse 4 says, "Restore us again, O God, our salvation, and put away your indignation towards us. Would you be angry with us forever? Would you prolong your anger to all generation? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation." And so the church needs the joy of the Lord to be their strength and be revived again. In fact, Hosea entreated the people of Israel in chapter 6 verse 1 says, "Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down and he will bind us up again. After 2 days he will revive us. On the third day he will raise us up, that we may live for him." And it's my prayer that, like Jonah, we will be revived even in the city of Pietermaritzburg. The church of Pietermaritzburg, Grace Generation Church as well, will be revived and awakened to what God has called us to do. So we need spiritual awakening. Even in the church in Africa, the church of the world today, with things that are happening around, that the church is the one that is not leading but following what is going on, will be revived. And so, as I look at these 3 points, I will see 3 ways in which they contributed to the spiritual awakening of the city. I will look at how they received the word of the Lord, and how they obey the word of the Lord, and how they preach the word of the Lord. So whether it is Jonah himself, whether it is the ordinary people of the city, or whether it's with the authorities of the city. So let's start with the point one. The city's preacher awakening to a second chance. The Bible says, verse 1, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it with the message that I tell you." And so Jonah here receives a second chance because God came to him a second chance. And I believe strongly that God gives every one of us a second chance. In fact, sometimes it's a third, sometimes it's a fourth chance, fifth chance, some even 10 chances, because he loves us. According to Second Peter chapter 3, the word of God says in verse 8, "Do not overlook this fact, one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day." And verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill the promise, as some count slowness, but he is patient with you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." And so God comes when we fall, when we do things, God gives us a chance and a chance and a chance. In fact, Jeremiah in Lamentation chapter 3 verse 22 says, "Because of the greatest love, we are not consumed. Because of the greatest love of the Lord, we are not consumed. For his compassion never fails, and they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Our God is so faithful in his love for us that he gives us a second chance. And so, as we are looking at this passage, I remember listening to Charles Swindoll preaching on this passage in one of his Insight for Living devotions. And he said one thing that has stuck with me. He said that God, after Jonah disobeyed and ran away, God would have forgotten about him and called an angel to come and preach to the people, a righteous angel. But God didn't do that. Rather, God went back to Jonah so that he could go and preach to the people, to do the work he has called him to do. That reminded me that actually, it is human beings that God created in his own image to be partakers with him, to be partner with him in doing the work that he has brought us in life to do. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, telling us that is by grace we are saved through faith, and it's not anything that we have done, and it's not a result of anything that we can boast. But I like verse 10, for he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we may walk in them. And so God is partnering with us. Sinful as we are, and all that we do, God wants to partner with us. So he gave Jonah a second chance, even after disobeying. But then, how did he do the work? The first thing is, there are three ways. The first one is, Jonah received the word of the Lord the second time as it is. And that's what God expects us to do. He says, go to Nineveh and call out against it. Arise, go to that great city and give them the message that I give to you, in verse 2 of the chapter 3. Jonah knew what was at stake. He didn't even want to go in the first place. But now he accepts the message. He receives it, knowing that the people could be hostile to him, or he knew about the wickedness of the people and he hated them. He hated them. He didn't like them. Actually, as we learned a few weeks ago, he there was a bit of racism in him against the people of Nineveh, but he received the word to go. And I think there are times when, as children of God, when the word of God comes to us, we don't receive it. We think of the consequence. We think of what will happen. What are people going to say? And because of that, we don't receive the word. But he did receive the word. Secondly, he obeyed the word. So Jonah, in verse 3, arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. And now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey. He knew that it would take him 3 days, but he began walking and talking to the people and giving the message to them. And that's what he did. He obeyed and began going. There are times when, as people of God, We receive, but we don't act. We don't move. We don't obey, because we think it will affect our pocket. We think it will affect my personality. What are my friends going to say? And so we receive it and we sit with what we have received. And that becomes difficult. We will see the hand of God in our lives. So he began. He didn't give any excuse, but he began to move. To move to do what? Is the third way. The third way was, he preached the word. Whatever word he received, he began to give it to the people and tell them what God has told him. So he began to go into the city, a day's journey, and he called out, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overturned. This is a hard message. This is a serious message, but Jonah went and preached to the people. I'm not sure how his voice was like at the time. After spending 3 days and three nights, he didn't worry about how he was looking. He didn't even check in the mirror to check whether his hair was okay, whether he was smelling okay. I'm not sure whether at that time he had time to have a bath, but he went just as he is. My brothers and sisters, I think when God gives us a word, we should just go for it. We should just go for it. And we'll go deep into how we package that. And so that's what Jonah did, and he went to preach the word of God, and left the rest to the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes we feel we can do it in our own strength, but ours is to do the job. In fact, I remember Paul saying, "I planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the growth." So whether He who plant or he waters, that's nothing, but it's God who gives the growth. And that is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. So we just need to do our part and leave the rest with God. And so that's Jonah. He received the word, he obeyed it, and he preached the word. That's very, very important. It's quite interesting. The same thing happened with the people of Nineveh. The Bible says that they were there when Paul went, when Jonah went. Can you imagine? Jonah had stayed in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And as I was saying, the people will be able to see this person is not the same as us. Maybe having come out, the how he was looking and how he was smelling, but he was bringing the word. Despite all these things, the people, the Bible says in verse 5, and the people of Nineveh believed God. They believed. Number one, they accepted what was there. That's how you can't believe without accepting. So that's the first thing. They accepted the word as it is coming from this man, this fish smelly man, this strange looking man. And this man was telling them about the very things they've done. They didn't argue. You know, there are times when people come to us and are telling facts about our own life, we think they are insulting us. No, Jonah was not insulting them. He was merely describing them, what they have done. And sometimes the word of God, because it's a mirror, he's able to show us who we are and speak to us. But in our disobedience, we begin to reject it. But these people did not reject. They received the word just as it came to them and accepted it and knew that they were the ones who were doing the wrong thing. Normally what happens is that politicians will plan evil and they will use the ordinary person to accomplish it. If it is killing, they will use the normal people on the ground to kill people. If it is stealing, they themselves don't go to steal. They use the one who is accounting, the one who is in administration, and they use the people. So when Paul, when Jonah was speaking to them about this, they understood, they knew that it is me who has been doing these evil things that Jonah is talking about. People of God, we need to acknowledge our shortcomings and where we have gone wrong and call out to God, and he's able to do. So the people received and accepted the word of God. But interestingly, they obeyed. They obeyed. They believed. That's what it means. It means they accepted it and obeyed what he was saying, that if you don't do something about this in 40 days to come, there will be no more Nineveh. And so they accepted it, the challenge, and obeyed what God was saying, and they repented. They repented. He says, I will not do it again, as the word of God came to us last week through Claire about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus says, yes, I've sinned. And if I've defrauded anyone, I will pay. So that's what they are saying here. They saw their mistakes and accepted. That is obeying the word of God. Today, God has come amongst us. He has given us his word through Jesus Christ. The word that was given to Nineveh has been given to us. The word is, God created a human being in his own image. You and I, in his own image. And he breathed a breath of life that we can live. But we rejected that life through Adam and we sinned against God. We rejected God. But you know what? God has made a new way through Jesus Christ. But that must be accepted. And that's what they have done here. They accepted the word. If you don't accept Jesus Christ, there's no way your sins will be forgiven. So they accepted. And you know what? They didn't believe in Jonah, this strange looking man. They didn't believe in him. They believed in the God of Abraham. They believed in the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. For the first time, they believed in him and called out to him. Sometimes the word of God comes to us and we believe in our pastors rather than believing in Jesus Christ. We believe in leaders, people who can give us something. We put all our hope in them. But we need to put our hope in Jesus Christ. And that's what they did, because he is our Savior. And they preached the word. That touched me. And this is the whole revival. That's where the revival came. When Jonah, when they heard and they accepted and believed in God, they began to go into their own homes to tell their friends, we have seen this strange looking man and the man is talking about us. All the things we have done, he's telling us. And we need to change our lives. We need to change our lives. So they went. Some of them went to their offices. Some of them went even into the king's house. And this to me is the basis for revival. When we hear the word of God and we act on it. In the place that I work, we call it the 2x2x2 principle. And 2x2x2 is in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2. That's what I call 2x2x2. 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. He says, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men and women who will qualify to teach others. So whatever you hear, the testimony, what God has done to you, don't keep it to yourself. Go into the city. That's what God is calling us to do in Pietermaritzburg. Grace Genesis. God is calling us into the city to tell people what he has done for us. What he has done in our lives, let's tell our family members. Some of our family members don't know the Lord. Let's be bold and tell them. We are working in places of authority. We need to go there and tell them. In the book, in John chapter 4, we learn of this lady who comes and having a tete-a-tete with Jesus Christ, talking with Jesus, and Jesus tells her the things he has done. She runs into the city and say, come and see. Verse 39. Come and see the one who told me everything I did. And then the people came. It says, many Samaritans from that town came in to believe in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. People of God, we need to draw near to God. We need to tell others what the Lord has done. The Lord has done so much for us. And we can tell others. And that's exactly what he did. I am entreating every one of us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ in this city of ours. What testimony do you have to go in there and tell others that they too may come to know Jesus? Those of you who are in life groups or cell groups or whatever we may call it in your church, what are you planning as a group to do in the city so that people will give their life to the Lord and change their lives? And you know, because they did this, the Bible says, and that brings me to my third point, the king and his nobles of the city awakening to the spiritual, their spiritual and moral responsibility. You know, normally in the church, we forget about those in authority. We don't even think about them. Yet the Bible exhorts us to pray. In Romans 13 verse 1 says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, but there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. So whether it's through the ballot or whatever, once they are there, it's God who has put them there. And so Paul says we need to pray for them in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1 says, first of all, then I urge you that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made to all people, for kings and all who are in higher positions, that they may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. And so that's what is important. And so these people went and presented the word. The Bible says in verse 6 of the chapter we are reading, chapter 3 of Jonah, in the ESV it says, the word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. The word reached the king. In NIV, he says, when the news reached the king of Nineveh, he arose. In the New American Standard Version, he says, when the word reached the king. In American Standard Version, he says, and the tidings reached the king of Nineveh. And the message says, when the message reached the king of Nineveh, he got up off his throne. So in any way, I like the Amplified also says, for word came to the king of Nineveh, all of all that had happened to Jonah, and the terrifying message from God, he arose from his throne and laid his robe aside, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. So people took the word from Jonah. Jonah didn't go to the king. Jonah didn't go to the nobles. But there are some people who are staying in the homes of the nobles, those in authority. So they went and took the message. People, we have people who are our brothers and sisters, who are MPs, who are counselors, who are mayors. We stay with them. We call ourselves Christians. Do we speak to them so that the word of the Lord will reach Ramaphosa? The word of the Lord will reach someone in authority. And that's exactly what they did. And the word went to the king. And God works in the king, because the word has power to change things. We call and we are cursing and we are saying so many things about what is happening. But until the word of God goes into these people, there will be no change of heart. But as the word goes, the power of the Holy Spirit is able to work and change people's heart. Look at the king. He was in ashes. He turned around and said, no, we need to do something. And indeed, he did not only receive the word, but he obeyed, knowing that if we repent, God will do something. For 40 days, we don't have time. Let's do it now. 40 days is too far away. Let's do it now. And so he received the word and he obeyed as well. And finally, he preached the word. Maybe there are some people who have not heard it yet. So the Bible says he issued a proclamation, verse 7, and published it throughout Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let men and beasts be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. And let everyone turn, that word, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent, and turn from his fierce anger, that we may not perish. That's a preaching of the word to the people of Nineveh, that they change their ways. People of God, it is important that we speak to those in authority. God will use them to help us change things, so that we can turn from our evil way and our violence. And I just want to just talk a little bit about violence. It's something that touches me. The president has said in South Africa that there's a major epidemic besides the corona we are fighting, and that is called gender-based violence. Men, in particular, of course, there are women who are violent against men, but that's a minority, very small. But most men are inflicting pain and violence on women and children. And that needs to stop. We are all human beings. We can't do that. We need to stop it. That perpetuation of violence against women has led to poverty. It has led to many diseases and all that. Because women cannot stay at home. They had to go and hide somewhere, and people are raping them and all that. That must stop. But another thing I want to mention, which to me is on my heart from what I've seen as I work in the community, is that I think we should stop putting everything together, violence against women and children. We should separate and say violence against children and violence against women. They are two separate things. We don't need to put them together. Because to me, the one that is suffering the most is the children, the child. It's not only men who are inflicting pain on children, but women are also inflicting pain on children. But because we have put in violence against men and women, we don't focus it. There are some children, I have seen children where they say child support grant. They take it. And these people go and get the child support grant. Instead of looking after the child, they buy themselves drinks. They drink the money out, and the child is there hungry. Instead of buying clothes for the children, they are buying paint for their faces and eyelashes. And the child suffers. Some children have done nothing. They came into this world. But because you wanted to abort that child and it didn't work, you hate that child. Because you think you are going on to maybe another level in your career, and the child came, because of that, you have hatred for that child. It's violence against children. And it must stop. It's my prayer that we ask God to help us. Let's all preach to those in authority that we repent of these things. And as we do, God will come and change our situation and make things better for us. Let's look to God and He will help us. And so, God has done it here before in my final, before I conclude. God has done it for Pietermaritzburg before. In the early 2000s, at the turn of the millennium, Pietermaritzburg was in deep trouble. The church stood and cried. And we used to have meetings and prayer meetings in the city hall. They called it the six giants. HIV and AIDS, crime, poverty and unemployment, violence, racism, sexism, and family in crisis. And we were praying about these things. And I remember at that time, especially in the area of HIV, the mayor, that time I think it was Zanele Hachwayo, she was pioneering. And a number of podia, I stood with her, and we shared about the HIV that is going on in our city. And God came down to help us. Things began to change. The economy of Pietermaritzburg was doing better. God can do it again. We need to preach. We need to send the word to those in authority now. Those who are involved in crime, those who are involved, they are all in our homes. Those who are involved in corruption, they all stay with us. Let's not condone, but let's preach the word of God. And God is able to do it. Even at that time, there was a revival. I remember God using what they call a drama that was called Heaven's Gate and Hell's Flames. God used it. And according to the report, the South African team have had many opportunities to minister to other countries throughout the Southern Africa. God greatly blessed the churches. And in Pietermaritzburg in the year 2000, a revival broke out at NCF Church with over 27,000 people seeing the drama and over 7,000 salvations coming in to grow the church and community. If God has done it before, He will do it again. And so as I conclude, Pietermaritzburg needs a spiritual awakening. The church of Pietermaritzburg, like Jonah, needs revival that we can lead the spiritual awakening. What are you doing? As a cell group, what are you planning to do to go to the city? As an individual, what are you planning to do that the word of the Lord will go into the people of the city? May the Lord bless us as we receive His word. Amen. Thank you.